Hello, friends. This is Doug Batchelor. How about an amazing fact? According to the Guinness World Records, Roy C. Sullivan holds the record for being struck by lightning more times than any other human. Sullivan worked as a U.S. Ranger in the Shenandoah National Park in Virginia, a place that averages about 40 thunderstorms a year. Between 1942 and 1977, Sullivan was struck by lightning 7 different times and survived, gaining him the nickname the Spark Ranger. All 7 strikes were documented by the Shenandoah National Park superintendent and verified by doctors. A single lightning strike may contain 100 million volts and 20,000 amps. The odds of being struck by lightning in your lifetime are about 1 in 3,000. The odds of being struck 7 times and surviving is over 1 in a trillion. Did you know the Bible talks about 7 thunders that speak words of mystery? Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist Pastor Doug Batchelor. Is understanding God's Word a challenge? Are there passages of Scripture that are a mystery to you? Maybe it's difficult to reconcile what you've read in the Bible to what you've always believed. If you have Bible-related questions, stay tuned to get honest, practical answers straight from the Word of God on Bible Answers Live. Bible Answers Live is a production of Amazing Facts Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Our lines are open, so call us now at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, here's your host, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Hello, listening friends. Welcome to Bible Answers Live. And if you have a Bible question, now is a good time to pick up the phone and give us a call. That number one more time is 800-GOD-SAYS. 800-463-7297 will bring your Bible question into our studios. We don't claim to have all the answers, but we'll search the Word together. That's 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. For the next hour, we're going to be taking your live Bible questions, or you may have questions about the Christian faith and the Christian life. We'll do our best to find the answers together. And my name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. Good evening, listening friends, and Pastor Doug. Once again, let's start the program with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity to study your word together, and we always ask for your blessing. We recognize that in order to understand the Bible, we need the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts and our hearts. So be with those who are listening, wherever they might be, and guide us, Lord, into a deeper and fuller understanding of the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pastor Doug, you spoke a remarkable story of somebody being struck by lightning more than once. I mean, that in itself would probably be remarkable, but 7 times. And to survive. What a story he has.
Yeah, and you can actually read the 7 different accounts. I mean, there once he's fishing, once he's driving down the road, which almost never happens because your car actually grounds and protects you. But he had his window open, and it really struck a tree next to him, and hair caught on fire because he was so close. Matter of fact, his hair's caught on fire 3 times from lightning. He had scars on his legs and on his belly from the different lightning strikes. After being struck 4 times, he really became a little paranoid. And whenever there's a storm, he would run for cover, but it didn't seem to help because sometimes he'd run and he'd still get struck. The poor guy, 7 times, but he lived through it. And, of course, he's passed away now because he was born in 1912. But in any event, when I saw struck by lightning 7 times, it made me think of a verse. I know that you're familiar with all the sevens in Revelation. And there's one passage you read in Revelation chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. Now, friends, this is a mystery, and we need your help with this one. Revelation 10, 3 and 4. And it says, "This angel cried with a loud voice, when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices. And when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not." Now, this is unique in the entire Bible, because virtually every other time in the Bible, when prophets, and in particular John the Apostle, when they see these things in vision, the angel says, write it down, tell people. Mm-hmm. And now he hears something that these 7 thunders utter. He's preparing to write. The angel says, no, not that. Don't write that down. And everybody has speculated and wondered, What was that mysterious message that John heard? It's included in the Bible. I heard something, but I can't tell you. It kind of makes you wonder, it kind of tantalizes us with, what was it that these seven thunders said? Some have wondered, well, did it have the day and hour of Christ's coming? And no man knows that. And so John heard that, and the angel said, no, don't write that down. Or was it something more specifically related to Revelation chapter 10 and all that happens there, a great movement that happened among God's people? So anyway, we have a book that talks about the time of the end. Now, friends, you know, one of the days that the Bible speaks of, it's called the Great Day of the Lord, or the Time of the End, the Great Judgment Day. And there is a book that is a real classic. If you've not read this, it'll really encourage you and maybe even convict you a little bit. And it's called The Last Night on Earth. And we'll be willing to send you that on for free.
All you'll have to do is just give us a call on our resource line, and you can ask for the book entitled The Last Night on Earth. We'll send that to anyone who calls and asks. The number for our resource line is 800-835-6747. Again, that's 800-835-6747. And ask for the free offer, Last Night on Earth. And if you have a Bible question, we'd love to hear from you this evening. We have a few lines that are still open. Our phone number here to the studio is 800-463-7297. Again, 800-463-7297. This is a good time to pick up your phone and give us a call. Well, Pastor Doug, we're going to go to our first call of this evening. We have Gilbert, who is listening from New York, New York. Gilbert, welcome to the program.
Yes, I have a question. I have a friend, and if a person commits suicide as a believer, is he disqualified from heaven even if he didn't get a chance to repent?
Well, that is a difficult question. It's an important question, and it's a sobering question. Of course, you know, the Bible's pretty clear that life is precious, and there's a commandment that says not to murder, and that would certainly include self-murder. There are sometimes extenuating circumstances because only God knows really what's happening in a person's heart. A person can be overwhelmed with, discouragement in a moment, and God is not going to typically judge a person for what happens in one moment, if they've had a lifetime of surrender and service to Him. Sometimes a person, there can be chemical imbalances in their body that leaves them very depressed, or some people are physically not well, and they make a bad decision, and so we don't know. You know, we got to be very careful. Suicide is not something believers consider as an option because we respect life and we know how precious it is to God, and even our lives we entrust to God that, you know, when it's our time, it's our time. The only ones that you see taking their own lives in the Bible were typically people that were in a lost condition, like King Saul or Judas or Ahithophel. And so it is a concern. But, you know, I know some people that were believers, and they got very discouraged, and sometimes it was connected with some overwhelming circumstances or sickness, and they made a rash decision and, you know, tried to take some pills or whatever it was. And, you know, I can still hope for their salvation. I don't think they're automatically disqualified because, you know, God looks at what's happening in the mind and the heart. But, like I said, if anyone out there is contemplating suicide, you don't want to think about that as a Christian, because typically people consider suicide hoping they're going to find some better circumstances or they're going to get rid of a problem. But what it may do is eliminate all your options and put you in a very bad circumstance. So it's not the solution the devil sometimes wants us to think.
God knows the heart, right?
Exactly.
I see. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your call, Gilbert. Appreciate it.
We have Apostle listening from Queens, New York. Apostle, welcome to the program.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing well. And your question tonight. Thank you.
Yes. Hi, Pastor Doug. Good evening. On Landmarks of Prophecy, one of the episodes, you said that Lucifer went and tried to rally other unfallen worlds before coming to a newly created earth. Where does that teaching come from?
Well, for our friends that are listening, Pastor Ross and I just got back from Albuquerque, where we were uplinking a live satellite evangelistic program that went all over the world. We had like 40 different countries tune in. And one night we talked about why is there evil. In that presentation, we say before Lucifer was restricted to this earth, the same thing he did with Adam and Eve, he likely did with the other unfallen worlds. Of course, there was nobody fallen but he and his angels to begin with. There's a parable that Jesus talks about a shepherd that has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, and he leaves the 99 good sheep safe in the fold, and he goes and looks for that one lost or wandering sheep. And some scholars have speculated that that's really a parable that talks about Christ leaving the unfallen worlds and coming to this stray sheep, this planet, to redeem it. That, you know, there, of course, are unfallen angels. And so the same temptations that came to Adam and Eve, God allowed the devil freedom to tempt the other angels. We know that because a third of them listened to him. And probably stands the reason that he, at least temporarily, gave the devil access to present his case to others.
You know, we also read in Revelation chapter 12, where it speaks of the devil, and he's symbolized as a dragon. And it says there's a point where he's cast out of heaven and he's cast to the earth. In other words, he's restricted to the earth at some point. Prior to that, it seems as though he did have limited access, at least to the other created beings or to angels to some degree. We read in Job, where Lucifer appears in this council that's probably taking place in heaven. There are the representatives of the unfallen worlds there, referred to as the sons of God. And Lucifer shows up, or Satan shows up, and God says, where have you come from? And he says, oh, from walking up and down on the earth. So at some point at the cross where Christ died, Satan was bound to this earth. He couldn't leave the earth. This is the planet that rebelled.
I see.
So, yeah, right. You can't, you're correct that you can't make a strong argument for the devil going and talking to other unfallen worlds. It's something that's done just by a little bit of deductive speculation about, you know, where we're at and how, where he came from. And did God only allow him to tempt Adam and Eve, or would he have been allowed, as he tempted the other angels, would he have been allowed to tempt the other unfallen worlds? And so it's a deduction that's made.
Just like the way we know how big the universe is, we can deduce that there has to be a life somewhere and that God created.
Yeah.
I
mean, well, now the Bible does say that God made the other worlds through Jesus, not just worlds. And so, and then you read a couple of places in Revelation where it says, and all the creatures in heaven and are praising God. So there are other evidently unfallen worlds that still worship and praise God. But hey, you know, we appreciate your call. And, you know, if you go to the Amazing Facts website, if you type in other worlds, I did a sermon talking about, is there life in other worlds? And it kind of addresses this a little bit. I go through everything in the Bible that gives any, everything I could find that gives any light on this subject, and just go to amazingfacts.org, and under the media library, just search Other Worlds. There's a free DVD online you can watch. I think it's even on YouTube. Appreciate your call, Apostle.
All right, we have Montgomery listening from Columbia, South Carolina. Montgomery, welcome to the program.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Thank y'all for having me. My question is, about Jesus Christ, I hear a lot of people, evangelists, say that Jesus Christ and God are one and the same. But like as I read the Bible, and I also hear evangelists say, there's just so many times that Jesus Christ said in so many words that he wasn't God. You know, like come to him. Get to God, and then when he was in the wilderness, he asked God, why do thou forsake me? You know, so could you kind of explain that to me?
Yeah, now when you say God, this is, it sometimes confuses people because Moses said, for instance, and this is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And, well, he said one. What does that mean? Well, in the Hebrew thinking, one doesn't always mean numerical quantity. Jesus said a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. They become one flesh. And Jesus in John 17, praying with the apostles, said, Father, I pray that they may be one, the apostles, even as you and I are one. So God, think of God sort of as like the last name in a family. You have God the Father, and then you have God the Son, then you have God the Spirit. And the characteristics of God is they're all powerful. You read in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. And so then it tells us in the New Testament that everything that was made by Jesus. So if it tells us that God made things in the beginning, and then the New Testament says all things were made by Jesus, Jesus must be God. The Bible says that only God can forgive our sin, and yet the Bible says Jesus only can forgive our sin. Well, Jesus must be God. The Bible says only God knows the thoughts of men's hearts, but it says Jesus knew what people were thinking. Well, that would be because Jesus is God. And then again, the Bible says there's only one Savior, but it says Jesus is the only Savior. So if it says God is the only Savior and it says Jesus is the only Savior, well, there's no problem if Jesus is God. He's God the Son. So at the baptism of Jesus, you see God the Father's in heaven. He speaks. He says, this is my beloved Son. And then God the Spirit is coming down. Right there in that picture, you see God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So all of them are everlasting. Christ is said to be from everlasting to everlasting. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Before the mountains were brought forth. So there's a lot of evidence that Jesus is God as well.
You know, let me say something else about that verse, Pastor Doug. You mentioned Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Something interesting about the word one used here in the original Hebrew. There are two separate words in Hebrew, sometimes translated as one. There is the one Hebrew word, which means one in the sense of numerical value. There's only one. There's another Hebrew word that means one in purpose or united. For example, the verse that says the two shall become one. It's that word one that's used, united in purpose. And in this verse, in verse 4, it is the word for united in purpose. The Lord our God is one. United in purpose, having the same goal. It's not the word one used in a numerical sense. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and of course, then in Genesis, God says, let us make man. Who's the us? Let us make man in our image. It's God, the Father, Son, and Spirit. You know, we have a book, Montgomery, that you can read for free online. It's called The Trinity. And it talks about, you know, what is revealed in the Bible about this very important subject. Just go to amazingfacts.org and click on the free library, or you can request it, and we'll send you a copy, or anyone.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. That is the resource line, and you can ask for the book, The Trinity, Is It Biblical? Again, 800-835-6747. And our phone number here to the studio, if you have a Bible question, is 800-463-7297. We have Lucas, who's listening right here in Sacramento. Lucas, welcome to the program.
Hello, Pastor Doug.
Evening. How are you doing?
I am very good. I had a question for you.
Okay.
Is celebrating Christmas a sin for Christianity?
Well, first of all, anything that's not of faith is sin. And so if a person is convicted that it's wrong for them or they think it's unbiblical, they shouldn't do it. Because there's no command that you have to in the Bible. Christmas comes down sort of from a tradition. There are certain traditions that, you know, you can observe that it, as long as it's not violating a biblical principle, there's nothing wrong with it. Jesus most certainly wasn't born the 25th of December. I think most people know that now. But that's the date that, you know, the world has chosen to remember his birth. So remembering his birth, that's not a sin. If people start getting, if you're a believer and you put your emphasis on the materialism and Santa Claus and elves, well, that could be a sin, no question. So that's why it's kind of a broad question, Lucas. So when you say celebrating Christmas, if people are exchanging gifts, there's nothing inherently wrong in that. If people are singing songs about the birth of Christ, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
So, yeah, matter of fact, we have a book that gives a little bit of the pagan history behind Christmas, but at the same time, try and gives a practical outlook on it, and it's called Baptized Paganism. You can read it for free online, or we'll send you a copy.
The number to call again for our resource line is 800-835-6747, and the book again is called Baptized Paganism. We'll send it to anyone who calls and asks. We have Virginia, who is listening in Albany, New York. Virginia, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. You're on the air, Virginia.
Okay. I wanted to discuss people that have said that they have died and gone to heaven and saw a bright light. My brother was one of them. My brother had the presence of mind to record his experience. He was having a heart attack, so he had a tape recorder by his side. And he was looking down at his body, and he saw he experienced a bright light and felt very calm, very self-assured. And he heard a voice saying, "It's not your time. You have to go back."
So is your question on, is this biblical?
There's that book that Heaven is for Real by that little boy.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things that have happened that people say that are saying the same thing. And I don't think it's demonic. I don't think it's demonic.
All right, so is your question about what happens? Or is your question about what happens when you die, according to the Bible?
Well, the people that have been dead for moments or whenever time has elapsed and come back are saying the same thing.
All right,
that
well,
they see this bright light, that they feel, that they see God.
Are, so are you, is the, your, I'm just trying to get your question so I can answer it. Is your question, what do these experiences mean?
Do you believe that this happens?
All right. I have no question but that people have experiences. I don't doubt that at all, that people have near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences. Some people die on the operating table or their heart stops beating and their minds are robbed of oxygen and they may have all kinds of visions and experiences. It is actually a fact that not all of these experiences agree. If you go to India, where you know the majority of people are Hindu and they have near-death experiences, they don't see Jesus. They often see Krishna. And if you go into Buddhist countries, they may have an experience where they say they were at one with Buddha and about to be reincarnated. So when you leave Western cultures, or even in America, people have all kinds of different experiences. And so I just don't think that we should base our conclusions on what happens when you die based on someone's dream or vision when they're on an operating table. I'm not questioning they had these experiences. I'm just saying the Bible says that the resurrection doesn't happen till Jesus comes. And when people say they went to heaven or they went to hell and they see all of these things, and some of these things are all, they contradict each other. So,
you know, just the name itself, we need to, again, we're not questioning that somebody doesn't experience this, you know, that this is their own experience, but they refer to as near-death experiences. When somebody has a near-death experience, we don't refer to them as somebody who was dead and was resurrected. I mean, that would be remarkable to have somebody actually die all the way and be dead for a period of time and then be resurrected. It's near-death. So as the brain's been starved of oxygen, or if, you know, sometimes God could
give them a dream.
Yeah, if they've been looking forward to something or peace filling their heart. But again, we want to go with what the Bible says and make our conclusions based on that.
Mm-hmm. We actually have a book that we'd be happy to share with you, Virginia. And we just wrote it, and it's called Final Mystery, The Truth About Death Revealed. I think it's The Truth About Death Revealed. And if you'd like a copy of that book, you're going to probably not see it at the free library, but you give us a call. I bet we can send you one of those called Final Mystery. And it just goes through all the scriptures. When people say that they died and they went to heaven and they're talking to dead people up there, the Bible actually forbids us from doing that. That's called necromancy, or trying to communicate with the dead, and we're not supposed to do that. So anyway, the Lord may give your brother or somebody a dream to encourage them or to have a personal message for them, But that doesn't mean that they went to heaven, or in the case of some people, going to hell or wherever it is. What does the Bible say happens? That's what we want to go by. Nobody in the Bible, there are about a dozen resurrections in the Bible, Virginia. Not one of those people who is resurrected in the Bible ever makes a comment on any conscious state in death. Now, these are people who are really dead, and then they were raised from the dead by either Jesus or Elijah or the apostles. And they never said, oh, I was in heaven, or I was down in Hades, or I had this experience, or I saw this person. None of them made any comment, which tells us that, well, what Jesus said about death is true, that the living know they'll die, but the dead don't know anything. And Christ said, it's called sleep. It's like a dreamless sleep. When do the dead rise? We believe the dead do rise. We believe that they go to heaven. It's after the judgment. And so once again, you or anyone else, if you want that book, Final Mystery, just to call the resource number.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the book called Final Mystery. And you could also probably, maybe not at the moment, but it should be up at our free library hopefully soon.
A few months, yeah.
And you can read it there. Our next caller is Clint, and he's listening from Arizona. Clint, we have about 2 minutes before the break.
Okay. My question is, I have a hard time, I'm kind of a control freak, so I have a hard time when something isn't going right in my life, giving it to God and not taking it back. It's real easy for me to give it to Him and say I'm going to give it to Him and hand it over and let Him handle it on His time, but I have a hard time not taking it back and trying to control the outcome. You know,
so you want to know how do you do this?
Some biblical advice, yes.
Well, join the club. I bet you Pastor Ross and I would probably also say that we, you know, a lot of men, we want to try and improve our lives. We want to try and help our families. We want to solve problems. And when we're faced with problems, and it's not just men, it's women, everybody, when we're facing problems, we immediately begin to fret and say, now, how do I solve this problem? And, you know, first thing is to just remember, cast your cares upon God because He cares for you. Jesus said, take my yoke on you and you'll learn from me. And so he doesn't say that we don't bear any of the burden. He says, you know, we bear it together and He makes it easier for us. So you have to continue to practice casting your cares upon God, giving it to Him, praying while you try to resolve problems and take care of your life. And this is normal, just giving it to God, trusting in Him, and growing in your faith. You're listening to Bible Answers Live.
You know, Pastor Doug, you mentioned a little earlier, we just got back from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we went through a whole Bible prophecies series. I forget, 20 parts, 21 parts,
21 presentations,
like that.
Plus all the questions and answers.
That's right. And all of those programs are archived at a website called Landmarks of Prophecy. And people can go take a look at the programs. There's also resources that will help them in their Bible study.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you want to see what just happened in New Mexico, and we've had a lot of people say that they've just had a renewal of their faith. Some people have come to, well, many, mm-hmm. come to Christ and been baptized from watching these programs. Talk about everything from Bible prophecy to the principles of salvation. If God is good, why is there a devil? What will heaven be like? Talk about Armageddon and the Mark of the Beast and angels and all kinds of interesting Bible subjects. Go to landmarksofprophecy.com, landmarksofprophecy.com, and you'll find just a wonderful study series there with the corresponding lessons. We're just going to have a break for a few minutes, and we'll come back with your Bible questions. Lines are open. Give us a call.
Bible Answers Live will return in just a moment. If you're looking for Bible-based materials for further study, sign up for Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course, or check out our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry, operating exclusively through the generosity of your prayers and financial gifts. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org.
You're listening to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. If you have a Bible-related question, call us now to receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. We have a few lines open, so please give us a call. The phone number to the studio is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297.
If you've enjoyed Bible Answers Live, you'll love Pastor Doug's Book of Bible Answers. Straight from the broadcast, the very best questions and answers have been compiled as an awesome resource for Bible study and personal evangelism. Each answer has been expanded with more Bible verses and insightful commentary. The Book of Bible Answers can be yours today for just $12. Call now 1-800-835-6747 and request offer 257. That's 1-800-835-6747.
Just like we promised, we're back. Ready for more Bible questions. And again, if you have a Bible question, you can give us a call. This is Bible Answers Live. We're live and we'll do our best to answer your questions from the Bible. And that number, 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. And my name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. And Pastor Doug, we got some exciting news to share with our listeners, especially those who are listening in Jamaica. The last weekend of January, January 31, you're going to be doing a special rally weekend, Friday evening and then all day. You're going to be doing a program in the morning on Saturday and Saturday evening. And it's going to be in Kingston, Jamaica. And we'll give some additional details and have more information on the website as we get closer. But we thought we'd just mention that to our friends.
You know, about half of the Jamaican people don't live in Jamaica. They're scattered around the world.
That's right.
And they might want to know, we've been on TV in Jamaica for 20 years now. But this is going to be the first official trip where we're going to be preaching in the largest city there on what they call the Rock, and renting, I think, one of the largest auditoriums in the nation. And so, yeah, just might want to tell your friends, come along with us, take a vacation, come to the meetings. Going to be in Jamaica. And the, what is it, 31st?
It's going to be the weekend of the 31st of January.
We're looking forward to that. It's going to, I'm sure, be an exuberant meeting. All right, we ready for some more phone calls?
Yes, we have Chris, who's listening from Pennsylvania. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing? First-time caller, first-time listener. I heard you comment on the when they said to John, don't write about the seven.
Yeah, the seven thunders.
Seven thunders. I'd just like to see what you think about this. I compare it to, like, you know, when there was Elisha, and then he was trembling because there was the army coming before him. And then Elijah said, ask God that he can open his servant eyes. The servant eyes opened, and he'd seen, the armies of God and stuff like that. And then at the time when Christ was resurrected, as he was always there, but then they opened their eyes to see him, who he was when he had disappeared.
Right.
And there's other emphasis in the Bible. What I'm trying to get to is that the spirit world is always there. And the only difference is that we probably can't see it. And according to, like, the seven utterance, I'll just see what you think of it, probably after those things are uttered, it's like the veil that is before us, how can I say, will be removed. And you know how there's a scripture saying that we will no longer need to seek or ask knowledge, that it will be like the waters and stuff like that. Probably at that point, we will, you know, see
we'll
everything.
We'll understand. Yeah, see it all clearly.
Right.
Well, I think you're on the right track. I agree with what you said about the spirit world, and we're glad you called in, first-time caller, Chris. Yeah, and then there's that prophecy in Daniel. Pastor Ross might remember the verse where Daniel says that certain things were sealed, and some things are opened. And so, God is going to reveal some things in the last days. What's that?
Daniel 12, verse 4, and then it's mentioned again in verse 9.
Yeah. So, there are certain mysteries that God seems to prophesy will be revealed in the last days. And I think that's the only reason that God would have said that to John. I mean, why even mention there's something here, but you can't write it right now, but it's as though it will be understood later in the future. So, yeah, we appreciate your calling in, Chris. By the way, we'd be happy to send you that offer that we're making available tonight. It's free, no strings attached, called The Last Night on Earth.
And the number to call for that is 800-835-6747. You can just ask for the book called The Last Night on Earth. We have Taheem listening from Brooklyn, New York. Taheem, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you doing? Thank you.
Yes.
God bless. My question is concerning Revelation chapter 21, verse 14, where it describes the city walls which stood on 12 foundations of stone.
Uh-huh.
And it mentioned that the 12 apostles' names were ascribed in them.
Right.
I wanted to know, is Judas among the 12?
Probably not. That'd be awful to have his name immortalized. You know, after Judas died, they cast lots. Just before the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 1, Peter says, we need to get someone to replace Judas. And so they picked some of the apostles that had, or disciples, I should say, that had been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. Interesting thing is you never hear about him again, other than his name being mentioned. There's no book by him. There's no reference to him. But you read a little further, and it seems like God picked another apostle named Paul, who was dramatically converted, that wrote half the New Testament. So I think instead of Judas, you're more likely to see the name of Paul written in that place. That makes sense?
Yes, somewhat.
Well, do you think Judas's name is going to be there?
Yeah, I don't know. I considered, like, because he didn't. He had a specific purpose to do that. Was his, like, destiny.
Well, like, you know, Jesus, even before Jesus died, he knew that Judas had problems because he said, have I not chosen the 12 of you and one of you is a devil? So you wonder, would Christ want to put the name of someone he calls a devil inscribed in the walls of the New Jerusalem? So that's why I think it's going to be replaced with someone like Paul or Apollos or one of the other apostles. You know, we just finished doing a study on James, not James, the brother of John. James, the brother of Jesus, became an apostle early in the New Testament, and he was really chairman of the board of the bishop of the Church of Jerusalem, and he was Christ's older brother. He may even be his name in there. Christ, when the disciples, James and John, said, we want to sit on your right hand and your left, Jesus said, that's really for my Father to give. Yeah. And so it'll be interesting to get there and find out whose name is in the place of Judas' name.
Yeah.
So, hey, I appreciate that. Good question, Tahim. You have a good evening, and thank you for your call.
We have Bill, who's listening from Waynesville, North Carolina. Bill, you're on Bible Answers Live.
Hello.
Evening. Your question.
Evening. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2.
Okay.
Hereby know ye, Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he is of God. So what I'm wondering is the spirit, is it in human form or spirit form?
Well, when John is talking about a spirit there, he talks about that, you know, people have the Holy Spirit, and then there's those who have the other spirit. And so he's talking about when people come with a message, and if they're saying that, oh, I've got the spirit, but they're questioning the divinity of Christ or the incarnation of Christ, he said, you know right away that that's not a message or a person. They got the wrong spirit. That's if they're not confessing that they believe in the literal incarnation of God in Christ. And now, common mistake that people make is they read here where John says, any spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. There have been a lot of false prophets out there that will come along and they'll say, oh yeah, I believe Jesus came in the flesh. See, I must be from God. Well, the word confesseth there doesn't mean that you just say it once with your mouth. In the Hebrew mind, to confess something means to proclaim it with your life. And so it's not just a verbal confession and all of a sudden you're automatically genuine. You know, all you got to do is say, oh yeah, I believe Jesus came in the flesh. And that means that person has got to be authentic. Anybody can do that. The devil can pretend to do that.
So Satan and his reps can also do that, correct?
What's that now?
So Satan and his reps could masquerade that.
Exactly. Right? The devil and his angels. Satan can be transformed into an angel of light. I think that's 2 Corinthians 11. So
he could also confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Also,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no question that there have been many false prophets and preachers out there that will say, oh, yeah, Jesus came in the flesh, but they're not confessing it with their life. They're doing it briefly with their mouths verbally. And so John is talking about, you know, they're really demonstrating it, not just saying it. So, hey, appreciate your call, Bill. And we do have a study guide that talks about some of the deceiving spirits that are out there. And we've got that study guide called Did God Make a Devil? And talks about some of Satan's ways that he deceives people. We'll send you a free copy.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. That is the resource line. And again, you can ask for the free offer. And it's dealing with Did God Create a Devil? We'll send that to anyone who calls and asks. 800-835-6747. Robert, listening from Vail, Colorado. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, you guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling.
Hey, question about Gideon. You know, somewhere it says in the Bible that we should not test God, for God can't be tempted.
Right.
But why did Gideon get away with it when he said to God, hey, I'm going to throw the fleece out, and I want it to be wet in the morning and the grass dry. And then the next day, he wants the fleece to be wet and the grass dry, or vice versa.
Right.
Why did he get to tempt God?
Well, the tempting the Lord is different than asking for a fleece. Gideon, first of all, God called him and told him, I want you to lead the armies of Israel against the Midianites. And he's getting ready to lead men to a point where they could die. And Gideon, I don't think he cared so much about what would happen to him, but I think that he didn't trust himself and he thought, I want to make sure that I'm not imagining that I saw this angel and I'm imagining what God's telling me to do because I'm getting ready to lead all these men into battle, and I don't want their blood on my hands. And so I think he just took a very humble approach and said, Lord, please confirm, give me reinforcement that this is what you're asking me to do.
And, you know, also Gideon was to lead all of these men, and they were probably going to ask, well, you know, are you sure this is God telling you to lead us into battle? And he's going to be able to say, well, yeah, let me tell you what happened. And he can give the account of how God clearly said, you're the one that I've chosen.
Yeah, well, he had four things. One was the angel appeared to him.
Mm-hmm.
The other was the fleece being wet and the ground dry. Then the fleece being dry and the ground wet. Then he was told to go down and to listen to the Midianite soldiers that said they had a dream. He's on the edge of the camp and he overhears, he's being translated through his servant, and his servant says they're telling each other a dream at the campfire that a loaf of bread rolled into the camp and knocked over the tent, and is one of the soldiers said, oh, this is the hand of Gideon. He's going to destroy us. And that was like confirmation also for him. So God gave him a lot of this circumstantial and divine evidence because they were getting ready to go 300 men against like 800,000. That's like a Spartan army.
Be a sign of lack of faith when Jesus all throughout the New Testament says it's faith that you are saved. It is faith.
Yeah, blessed are those who believe without seeing.
Right. So it shows to me, I struggle with this, because it shows to me that Gideon had no faith. So why would God choose a man that had very little faith, even though I have little faith, but I do my best?
Well, now, I would respectfully disagree. I think Gideon did have faith, because when you read in Hebrews 11, Gideon is mentioned among the heroes of faith. Even those little tokens that God gave Gideon, it took an awful lot of faith to go charging down into the Midianite army with 299 other guys where you get trumpets and pitchers. And so he did have a lot of faith, I think, and he just needed some encouragement. You know, we all have measures of faith, and you're right, Gideon had some doubts, and that doesn't mean he didn't believe. It's like that man came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, and that's why I brought my son to you for healing, but I still struggle with doubts. And Jesus healed his son. Jesus loves it when he runs into faith like that centurion who said, you can heal my servant without even going to my house. Just speak the word. And Jesus said, wow, I haven't seen faith like that in all of Israel. So there are varying degrees of faith. And I do believe Gideon had faith, but you're right. He did have some doubts too. Hey, appreciate your call, Robert. And glad you're tuning in. Don't get too many calls from Vail, Colorado.
We have Kenny listening from Paradise, California. Kenny, welcome to the program.
Yeah, can we hear you? Kenny, line 8.
There we go. Kenny, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
We got you now.
Yeah, this question concerns Joseph. He's always been a real sensitive, tender-hearted person as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of things of his story makes me almost weep because of the situation that he was such a perfect person. But I always wondered, why didn't he contact his dad when he was several years in Egypt? And it seemed like to me he could have contacted his dad.
He was separated from his father for...
And it kind of relieved some of the stress of his father.
Yeah, you know, that is a good question. And
well,
I thought that myself many times. I just got done doing a series where I talked about Joseph.
Yeah, I love him. What a great person that
tremendous faith and forgiveness.
You know, possibly one of the reasons could be he did have the assurance. Remember, he had those dreams prior to him being sold into slavery, and part of the dream had to do with the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down. He knew that ultimately that dream would be fulfilled, and patiently he waited for God to fulfill his promise in his time, which is rather remarkable. I'm sure Joseph would have loved to have seen his father, but it's as if he almost waited, saying, Lord, I know you're going to do this, and I'm going to wait for you to unfold your plan the way you want to do it. And of course, we know how God eventually did that by sending the famine and his brothers and so on. So I think it's a testimony of his patience in waiting for God to work things out in his own way.
Yeah, and I think that when he considered what his brothers had done to him, I think he was afraid. You know, they were kind of grasping for their father's firstborn right. That's why they wanted to get rid of Joseph. The father was going to leave. Jacob was going to leave everything to Joseph. He may have even feared what might happen to his younger brother or what might happen to his father if he revealed what they had done. Because by telling his father he's alive, he's going to say, Egypt, how'd you get to Egypt? Well, here's the rest of the story. Your other sons sold me as a slave. And so I think he struggled with some other issues, because the first thing Joseph asks when he runs into his brothers is, how is your younger brother? Is my father alive? He was very concerned about them because they were pretty evil men when they first sold him. Mm-hmm. They were going to kill him. Hey, I appreciate your call, Kenny. He's one of my favorite characters. By the way, Pastor Doug wrote a book called Shadows of Light, Seeing Jesus in All the Bible, and I've got a whole section on Joseph and how he's a great type of Christ, and they carry that at the Amazing Facts bookstore. Just go to amazingfacts.org.
Our next call is Helen. She's listening from Fayetteville, Ohio. Helen, welcome to the program.
Helen, you're on the air, Bible Answers Live, listening on Radio 74. You there? Helen may have her phone muted. Helen, are you there? Sometimes while folks are waiting for the call, they put the mute button on.
All right, well, maybe we can come back. We have Orion listening from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Orion, welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. Can you hear me
loud
all right?
Loud and clear. Yes, sir. How are we doing?
I'm just doing fine, thank you.
Your question.
I just have a question about social media, sir. I just want to know what the Bible has to say about social media. And also, if Jesus Christ is here on earth right now, how would he handle social media? For example, I have a Facebook, okay? And I joined Facebook to post about things that will benefit, you know, human lives. Like, for example, to share Christ to them. But at the same time, I'm so careful about accepting friends because I don't want to be influenced by their worldly things.
Yeah, and
so how would
sometimes
you,
a lot
how
of...
would you balance that thing? How would I know Jesus? When Jesus Christ was here on earth, he ignored those scribes and Pharisees, and he didn't mingle about the worldly people with
right.
those worldly people.
All right, well, let me take a crack at that. Now, you obviously know, Orion, that you're not going to find a verse in the Bible that talks about, you know, instant messaging or Facebook or anything particular, but there's principles there, and the principles are that whatever you do, it should be holy, good, just, pure, and you do have to be very careful with social media. I have a Facebook page where I communicate with our friends around the world. I only post there a couple times a week because you just can't get absorbed. You know, I personally don't have time to delve into all the nuances of everybody's life. It's not practical because it connects you around the world. But, you know, you do want to be able to connect and talk to people periodically. But there's also a lot of ads and things that, you know, are sometimes unsavory. And so you just got to pray that God will give you the Holy Spirit and a filter so you can, you know, avoid some of that stuff as much as possible. And behold that which is good and noble and lovely. It I have had great opportunities with social media to communicate scriptures and prophecies and things with people around the world. So you apply the principle, overcome evil with good. Try and bring some good out of it. Radio can be used like this to study the Bible, and radio can be used with just awful talk radio and awful music. Television can be good Christian programming, and it can be also the worst of the worst. So these are mediums of communication, and I think Christians just need to use them as far as possible for good purposes. I hope that helps a little bit. And does that answer your question, Orion?
Kind of, but I just want to ask, do you have to unfriend those people that are, like, worldly? Like, do you have to distance yourself from them? Do you have to cut them off?
Well, if you think, the question would be, is if you've got friends that are influencing you in the wrong direction, you're better off plucking out your eye and cutting off a hand and unliking a friend. If you're able to influence them in a positive way, gently and diplomatically, try and encourage them for Christ, well, then, you know, it's an evangelistic opportunity. Jesus did have friends that were not believers. He made friends with publicans and sinners to try to influence them for good. But you don't want to walk in their ways, and you want to make sure they're not dragging you down. So you'll have to answer that question. Hey, but we do appreciate your calling in. We're going to try and get a few more questions while the program lasts.
We're going to see if we can go back to Helen listening in Fayetteville, Ohio. Helen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. My question is about cremation.
Uh-huh.
I heard a program that talked about the pagans years back would burn people and then spread them out all over the place.
Right.
I was wondering about these days of having people cremated, if they will still be able to get to heaven.
Well, that the first part of that question, or maybe second part of that question, I would like to answer first, very simply. Okay. Can the Lord resurrect people who are cremated? And it would be a resounding yes. Of course he can. Because when you die and you're buried, you know, Bible says ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You know that after 1,000 years, someone that's dead in the ground, their body's pretty much turned back into the elements of earth, with the exception of a few stubborn teeth and bones that may exist. When the Lord comes to resurrect us, he's not reassembling all the molecules of the old body. And so if a person's cremated and scattered around the world, God's going to throw his hands in the air and say, this is too hard, I can't do it. So, you know, of course, the Lord can do anything. And he's going to make new bodies for us. He can speak us into existence. But that said, in other words, so people who are cremated, folks have died at sea, soldiers have been blown apart. That's not going to prevent someone from being resurrected. But the majority of people who are died in the Bible, they are buried. And that's because, you know, the human body is made in the image of God. And out of respect for that, it's placed tenderly in a grave. It's dealt with in a respectful way. And, you know, the Lord is going to raise those people up out of their graves. When Jesus died, he was buried, and the angel came to the spot where he was buried and raised him from that spot. That's how it's going to happen with most of God's dead. So, you know, but that's not any condemnation on somebody who might be cremated. Hey, thank you very much, Helen. We're going to maybe squeeze in another half a call if we can do such a thing.
We have Phil, who is listening from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Phil, we have about 2 minutes, a little less.
Well, thank you. I'll make it real quick. My question is this. Earlier in the program, you called James the older brother of Jesus. And
yes.
My question is, if Mary was a virgin, how could Jesus have an older brother?
Yeah, they're actually half-brothers. And most scholars agree that the James and Judas and Joseph, there were four brothers of Jesus. They were probably half-brothers from Joseph's a prior wife that may have died. I'm sure she died because he wouldn't have married Mary. And there's several reasons for that. Jesus on the cross, he commits his mother to the care of the apostle John. Well, if she's got natural children, why aren't they taking care of her? And there's a number of reasons we think that they were probably half-brothers of Jesus from a former family Joseph had. I know that kind of seems strange for folks. Hey, listening friends, I knew that music was coming, but before you change the dial, you still with me? You know, it's coming around that time of year when people are given special gifts to Christian ministries. And if you're pondering doing such a thing, please remember Amazing Facts. This program is entirely supported by people like you who want to get the truth out. We appreciate it. Just go to amazingfacts.org. You can donate online. God bless. We'll look forward to studying His Word together next week.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. Hello, friends. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Bible Answers Live. Amazing Facts believes strongly in the Great Commission given by Christ to share the wonderful news of salvation to the entire world. For over 45 years, Amazing Facts has provided millions of resources to people around the globe. We've built churches in India, held revivals in Colombia, and have given over 2 million free Bible studies in the United States alone. The offer mentioned in the program today will be sent to you absolutely free to assist you in your study of the Bible. Have you missed an episode? Well, visit our website at amazingfacts.org for the latest programs and past episodes. These programs are brought to you by caring individuals like you. They're known as our ministry partners. Please consider joining our ministry partners team. Your financial commitment will help us keep programs like this on the air so that the blessing you now receive can be shared with others. Friends, the most amazing fact of all is that God loves us. He cares for us, and He has a plan for your life. If you've missed any of our programs and would like to become a financial partner, please go to our website at amazingfacts.org. If this program has blessed you, then tell a friend. And thanks for joining our efforts today in sharing the gospel with the world.
Amazing Facts, through your faithful support, has had a major impact on some of the largest non-Christian locations in the world. Beyond the Great Wall, the printing and translation of our books and video materials are in constant motion.
在地球还没有被造之前，天上就有了战争。
The Amazing Facts Chinese language website is now one of our most visited websites. We also translated thousands of pieces of literature for these nations. What started out as hundreds of followers is now in the hundreds of thousands. The impact of your funds invested in sharing the everlasting gospel in these foreign lands will be felt for years to come.
You know, every week we hear the most incredible stories from all over the globe of lives that are being changed and hearts that are being transformed by the power of the Word. And none of it could happen without your teamwork with this ministry. God bless you.
Deep within the pages of the Bible, stories of great heroes, heroes of great deeds, great love, and great sacrifice. But behind them is another hero, hidden in plain sight amid the shadows. He was there from the beginning, and he'll be there until the end. Discover the golden thread of a savior woven throughout the entire Bible tapestry. Shadows of Light. Seeing Jesus in All the Bible, a new book by Doug Batchelor. Get your copy today by calling 800-538-7275 or visit afbookstore.com. Once again, to purchase your copy of Shadows of Light, call 800-538-7275.